Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, 5 days a week. And my very special guest today is the wonderful, fabulous, and is looking quite gruff, Mr. John Russell. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty fabulous, actually. What can I do for you today?
Oh, we just come to talk about the opening of the People's Parliament in Melbourne, Australia. Well, the reopening,
the People's Parliament?
Yes, the People's Parliament, the Parliament of the Commonwealth, the real Parliament.
And how long has that real Parliament been dismantled?
Since about 1953, it actually got dismantled, and the Australian government took over up in Canberra after that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, how exactly did they do that? Was there some kind of an act that was passed through Parliament?
Basically, what it comes down to is the Queen and the Commonwealth of Australia, in lowercase, got kicked to the gutter by Gough Whitlam in 1972. And since then, Australia's been registered as a corporation on the US Securities and Exchange Commission in America. So the whole of Australia's been a corporation ever since.
Yeah, so this would be some of the things that Scott Bartle discussed in the documentary, What the FUQ.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Scott's right on the ball. Yeah, he knows exactly what's going on. Yeah, fantastic information.
So, so if you're restarting this People's Parliament, what exactly does that entail? Who's involved with this?
Okay, there's myself and fair few other people. Basically, it's a very simple concept. Back in 1920, in the High Courts of Australia, the engineers case, the judges, well, the judiciary back then stated if the Parliament was ever to misuse their powers, the people, the Australian people, could use constitutional means and reverse exactly what the government had done. So that's one. It's like a trinity in itself. So the next one is the Constitution of 1900, and Australia's actually got two constitutions, the Constitution of 1900 and the Constitution of 1995. The 1995 Constitution is a corporation constitution, and it doesn't actually apply to the Australian people, but only if you're allowed, only if you're contracted to them or if you're employed by them. So if you're not contracted to them, not employed by them, it's irrelevant to you. So we run off of the 1900 Constitution, 9th of July 1900. Then on top of that, it's the will of the people. So you've got the Trinity, you've got the engineers case, the Constitution, and the will of the people that can open it. Yeah.
How does it exercise its power in order to, like, let's say right now you're starting up the People's Parliament. Is this in direct opposition and a separatist movement against the Parliament in Canberra, which incidentally has a giant pyramid on the top?
Yeah, in a sense it does, yes. The People's Parliament is from the people, where the corporate or the Parliament in Canberra is a corporation. And because it's registered in Securities and Exchange Commission, they've actually got no authority in Australia over the Australian people. So it's a very big conflict that's about to happen here. Yeah, in the sense of saying, a lot of people say it's a revolution. I'd class myself as reclaim. We're just reclaiming back what's rightfully ours.
And exactly how are you going to facilitate this? Because I'm thinking about what happens to separatist movements in other countries. They simply get demonised. They don't manage to draw the votes. And as a result, kind of pitter-patter out amidst the harassment of the members?
Yeah, that's a really good question. In 2009, the Commonwealth of Australia got restored. It got restored by the sovereign of Victoria, or the Dominical sovereign of Victoria. And in doing that, it's really up to Australia. And if you can look at it like this, the whole world at the moment, there's a couple of entities that are trying to control the entire world. And what we are talking about and we are coming out with is the Commonwealth of Humanity. Okay, so everyone can basically live in peace and live in harmony, where you've got everyone, no doubt all your listeners would be totally aware of this. You've got the Illuminati, Agenda 21 issues and all that, where this parliament that we're starting, it's not just the Australian parliament, it's actually a worldwide parliament. Parliament. It is the Parliament of the Commonwealth. So it's a very big issue, very big issue, yeah.
But and as you say, been stemmed back since the 50s, right?
Yeah, that's when the Queen... Well, the 50s really bring in one thing, and that's the Royal Powers Act. And the Queen did a lot of things back there, but that's where our Dominical Sovereign has the power to step in at any time and speak on the... If the Parliament doesn't listen, he can actually speak on our behalf and ask the Parliament what's really going on here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in the centre of that, what's really happened in Australia is you've got... So if the people have a problem... You go to the police, and the police take it to the prosecutor. The prosecutor takes it to court, and the judge does a ruling on it, and it gets passed up to the Governor-General. Well, all of that there, cut from the people to the Governor-General to the Queen, is one big corporation now. It's one big, it's just one big corporation, so we can't actually do nothing inside of it. We've got no speak. We've got no talking. No one can hear our voice anymore because of this. And this is what the People's Parliament is all about. It's the voice of the people. It's their parliament. It's actually a real parliament.
Yeah. So you'd be able to hold people to account for their words and so forth. Like, for example, there will not be a carbon tax under this Labor government.
That's exactly right. Yes, exactly. One funny thing about that is politicians can really say as they please out in society, but as soon as they step into parliament itself, they can't. That's where they have to start to speak the truth. There's a lot of different stuff that comes down on top of them. But where the People's Parliament is, there's no lawyers. There's no corporation lawyers inside the People's Parliament. It's normal, everyday people. That's who run the place. It's from the people. It's the People's Parliament speaking on the people's behalf. That's what it really is. Yeah.
Well, the unfortunate thing is Parliament has sort of shied away from that. And incidentally, the legal situation for politicians being able to say what they want in the public sphere and then completely change every single policy that they publicly stated once getting power, I wonder how this works. What's happened in New Zealand is that we actually have no law that prohibits the lying of politicians, right? It is not unlawful to knowingly misrepresent your policy.
Yeah, well, that's one thing we want to change. What actually comes out of your mouth has got to be accountable for. It really does. You're talking in Australia alone, you're just talking 24 million people. You can't just say, as you're pleased to say, there will be no carbon tax under the government I lead. Then 10 minutes later, they've put a tax in. That's... It's criminal. It's not right. You cannot do that. Yeah, you don't. These people are the people who are running your country. But more to the point, they're your role models for the younger generation. And if they can see that politicians can do as they please, what hope have we got? Really, it comes down to that. Really, what hope have we got? Because we can't trust anything. So you have to be accountable for what you're actually saying out in the public. Yeah.
You know, that's actually an interesting thing. If a company comes out and says, our water does not contain fluoride, and they sell it to you in the bottle, and you get an electrode and you test that water and it turns out that it's got fluoride in it, what consequences are there for that company if it knowingly misrepresents its products?
On that side, I'm not sure. I'm not on that side. No, not at all. That's not my field, so I can't actually answer that.
But we've seen many, many scandals, haven't we, of people who've
said products.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can totally.
So what's the difference here? Why is it that when politicians sell us something and the product turns out to be a lemon, why don't they get held accountable? Why don't they go to court? Why don't they get arrested, you know, the amount of violence that gets committed on people that snatch a lady's handbags, these politicians snatch millions of dollars.
Oh, it's criminal. I know exactly, and I can hear really what you're saying. I really do. And that's what we're trying to put a stop to. That's why the People's Parliament's coming out, to actually make people or our politicians totally accountable for what they're actually doing, because it is criminal. You cannot say this to people, then 10 minutes later turn around and do something completely different. It's like anything that... There's too many issues to actually say it. Yeah, you know, there really is. There's just way too many issues out there where people just say what they feel, and who cares? Who really cares? Yeah, well, I care. There's a lot of other people that care, totally care about what's actually going on here.
Yeah. I mean, what's the problem here? Really, at the end of the day, is simply this. It's not that there aren't enough laws to counteract these sorts of behaviours in people. It's that those laws are selectively enforced.
Yeah, the enforcement side is the one. Like, at the moment in Australia, because if the Australian people can really look at the Australian government or the entity called the Australian government like this, they're exactly the same as McDonald's, okay? Both being a company. So how can McDonald's actually enforce anything onto you, Australian taxes or the GST or the carbon or any sort of tax whatsoever? And that is the biggest word, is called enforced. They've enforced this onto you. McDonald's doesn't come around home and enforce their Big Macs onto you, but the Australian government forces their tax onto you. That's insane. Like, under common law, the individual, the person, does not pay tax. It's the corporations that pay tax, not us.
Yeah. Well, individuals also don't have to abide by council bylaws, because bylaws only apply to companies as well, isn't it?
Oh, the bylaws, the councils, that's a really big issue in Australia at the moment. And the funny thing about this is, and it's right in front of Australia's face, it really is, where you got the council, they're charging land rates, they got all this power of authority, so say, and that they do because they enforce it, but they're trying to bring them in this September election. But aren't they already in if they're to actually enforce a fine on you, to force rates on you? For them to take money off you, they have to be inside of the government already. So how can they actually be recognised in the next election? They should be already recognised, but they're not. Then that's the crazy thing about it. It's actually unlawful, illegal for what they're actually doing to the Australian people. It's 100% illegal. They cannot do what they're actually doing to you. I just wish Australia could really see the bluntness on that and see what's actually going on there, okay? Because all the funding comes out of the federal parliament in Canberra, not out of the person himself.
Yeah, it's precisely what I'm talking about, bro. They got the exact right laws that are already there. Like, if you took a look at all the laws in society, bar basically the tax ones and things like that, like the things that govern companies or conduct or common assault or theft, fraud, etc., conspiracy, or there's all laws against these types of things. And if those were just fracking enforced, particularly, in fact, more specifically, you could just leave all the bottom rung criminals be completely, and society would be sweet, so long as you take out these top rung criminals who are actually running the entire society in a criminal fashion. What the hell is the point in, as I say, arresting somebody who's snatching a handbag when you let the person who's having the handbag snatched off them with $100 million stolen dollars in it, you let them go?
Yeah, I totally agree with everything that you're saying there. I really do. Because right now, people pay land tax and they pay it to their council. And it's unlawful. It's actually an illegal act. They're breaking the law themselves by paying that money. But no one knows this. No one actually knows this. And this is all the stuff that needs to come out to light to, for the Australian people. Like, what you actually see happening around Australia and around the world is the human being waking up to all these facts. The facts of literally, like in Australia since 1972, what's actually happened in Australia since Gough Whitlam kicked the Queen to the gutter. Okay, I can't explain it any other way, because it is criminal. It is totally criminal for what they're doing, because they're enforcing something on you when there is no law. They've literally used the Lingwanese or the English language and totally twisted it around. So if I say to a simple wording of, do you understand me? Well, the common person says, yeah, I understand you, John, not a problem. But in Lingwanese, it actually means I stand underneath you. So that person above you has total authority over me now, and that stands up in law. But we don't know this. The people just don't know this, as in the council rates, council taxes, personal taxes, GST, carbon tax. It's all unlawful. You should not be paying it. No one, and this is what I want to bring to light, this is the accountability that Parliament, and especially People's Parliament, Corporation Parliament, has to abide by. They really do. They have to abide by this kind of stuff. Yeah. We've only got one life, and we have to live it good without being deceived, without being ridiculed and literally just taken for advantage all the time.
I once did a Vox Populi and asking people the same question at a big protest. Do you want a government that breaks its own laws? You can imagine. You can imagine every single response was that. No. Well, that's what you got.
Well,
so what are you going to do about it?
The thing on that breaking the law. Now this one.
Well, unfortunately, we'll have to take that up after the break, John. So, John Russell from the People's Parliament of Australia, Australia as is commonly known. We'll be right back after the break. You can check out the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the YouTube channel Mr. News Guerrilla Media with the webcam with the guests. We'll be right back. Jamming a big old monkey wrench. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. I hope you enjoyed that break. You know, it occurs to me, one of my listeners said to me, you know, Vinnie, I don't like the commercial-free archives because sometimes there are some really, really great ads that play on American Freedom Radio, and if you're only catching the ad-free version or the YouTube versions, you miss out on it because some of the products are actually really, really good and can save you a lot of money and actually save your frickin' life with their healthiness and such. And I was like, you two got a good point. I still prefer the ad-free archives, though, because then the interview just goes, zoof, gone. All right. Well, anyway, back to this particular interview with John Russell from the People's Parliament in Australia.
How are you? Yeah. Where we left off is about criminals and that. And this is a really big thing for me. It really is. And it should be for Australia. It should be actually on the forefront of Australia. And that's both sides of Parliament, just one side of Parliament at the moment, is Julia Gillard. Like in 2006, she got charged by a man by the name of Brian Shaw in Melbourne for treason. Okay, and now she's our Prime Minister. Okay, and I can't get my head around that. We've got a Prime Minister in Australia that's up on treason charges that literally goes to our schools to see the kids and that, and she's supposed to be our role model. Our Prime Minister is supposed to be our role model. The person that we look up to, the person who, like, we strive to actually be, yeah, and be good in that. And this person has been charged for treason?
Can I offer an interjection here? She's not a role model. She's a rollover model because she just rolls over everybody. And also, you've had a former Prime somebody who is currently the Prime Minister who has previously been charged for treason, and you wonder how she got the job? Yep. It's called qualifications, mate. Okay, look, you need to ensure that people have got credibility when they go into their job. So if you're going to get them to be in a criminal position to operate the comings and goings of a banking cartel, a resource grab, and draconian Agenda 21 implementation, you've got to make sure you've got to have somebody there who's corrupt, because doing those kind of agendas requires remarkable large amounts of lying.
Oh, yeah.
And if they ain't got the qualifications, they're going to mess up the job and they'll blow the whole thing.
Well, you're really hitting the nail on the head there, haven't you? I've never looked at it like that. To run an organisation like that, well, you really need the best then, don't you? Yep, you do. But, just talk about this Parliament for a bit and where we envision it to go and what we envision it to be and all that, okay? Like I was stating before, you got the Illuminati out there, you got the Agenda 21. They're literally trying to take over the world and enslave us and keep us enslaved and that. And what I want to talk about and what I want to bring to the table is the Commonwealth of Humanity. Our Dominical Sovereign has set this complete kingdom up where people in the world can step inside the kingdom and live in harmony, live in safety, live in... Because that's what we're here for. We're not here to be slaves. We're not here to be a product. I just can't be that. it's not me. That's why I do what I do. And that's why I invite people to the Facebook page, like www.facebook.com/Constitution of Australia, to talk about these issues and to talk about how do you want things run. It's because it's not just me. In Australia at the moment, 24 million people, 12 million adults. This is what I want Australia to do. Start talking about it. Start talking about how do you really want things run here? Not us or not myself, but the government running you. But how do you want society run? What do you see in society? How do you want the sporting activities or the police services or the fire, all the different stuff that's actually in society? How do you want it run? We sit down at the table. We do not bomb each other. Okay, the Commonwealth of Humanity does not bomb each other. We do not throw bullets at each other. We sit down and talk. No doubt we get hot-headed. Okay, we argue, for sure. We're only human. But we don't get violent. We do not do that. Yeah, and that's we don't yell and scream or swear at each other. But we do get hot-headed, for sure. We get emotional about what's actually going on. But that's the really biggest thing that this people parliament brings to Australia. We want to sit down with the Australian people, the new senators that come on board, to sit down with the Australian people and really find out what's actually happening out there. We know what's happening to a certain point, but we don't know what you are feeling as well, the people who don't talk. We need to know. We need to actually know. You need to right now the government has all governments throughout the world have pushed this petition. You go and petition, you go and march, you go and protest and all this kind of stuff. And to me, I've looked back the last 40 years, it's never worked. It doesn't work. Yeah. And under the People's Parliament, under the Crown, it's called the will of the people. The will of the people. What do the people want? So you have the will of the people. And underneath that, you have the problem that you need fixing. And underneath that, you have the people that's backing the problem to fix it under the will of the people. So it's Trinity in itself, yeah, from all around the world, just not Australia. We want to talk to other people like America, okay? When I look at your Congress, I saw this on Facebook once. So there was a picture of Congress on there, and they said, what is the opposite of Congress? And it was progress. And you look at Congress, and you cut that word in half, and it's Congress. It's conning the hell out of you. And I look at the American people and it's amazing. I feel sorry for you guys, for what Obama and all the Bush and all of them, what they've done to you. And people go, I don't like America and all that. And I said, yeah, I don't like them as well. But it's the politicians I don't like. And the people, we are people. People are people. Doesn't matter if you're black or white or brindle or blue. Simple as that. I'm not racist at all. Okay, but when it comes to the people in power that want to misuse their powers, and especially America, because they're the American Congress, because they're actually controlling the world through the fiat currency system right now, the reverse fractional banking, the Fed. We have the Fed in Australia. We've got the Fed over there. They're controlling everything. So in my opinion, it's not the American people at all. They're in the same boat as in New Zealand, Switzerland, Australia. It doesn't matter where we come from. We're all in the same boat. It's all the governments that's actually doing wrong by us. Yeah, so that's what the People's Parliament brings to the table, to talk worldly issues, to fall under one banner, the Commonwealth of Humanity, to stop all this nonsense and this madness, because it is madness. It is totally and utterly madness. You got gangs. Like they look at gangs in Australia and go, you're a gang. Well, no, you're just a bigger gang. And that needs to stop. It really does. It really needs to stop. Yeah, and basically, I can talk about it for hours on all different subjects, but that's the biggest thing that the People's Parliament is about, to take it to the world and go, are you had enough of this? Have you literally, are you sick of it? Because I am. I'm totally sick of it. You can't move forward in life. Every time you try to get ahead in life, they tax you. They bring something new in. They want to screw you over, push you down, compress you, okay? And they wonder why people go off. They wonder why people snap. Yeah, we weren't put on this earth to be a product, to do what they do to us. It's not how it's run. It's not how it's done. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's two kind of people that I really, really just don't like. One being criminal gangs and the way that they treat you, and the other being the police and the way they treat you, who are incidentally a gang.
Well, with the Victorian one, with Victorian police. This is the sad thing about it. Back in 1855, the Victorian Constitution's not even signed. It hasn't got the royal assent to it, so there's no law here. It's quite an amazing thing when you've got 90%, I'd say 90%, of the Victorian police officers out there. They are totally unaware of this. They are totally unaware that they're actually inside of a corporation, so they're defending a corporation, not the Commonwealth of Australia and the people of the Commonwealth of Australia. And all the big brass, they know that. They know exactly what I'm talking about. But it's all the, for myself, yeah, you need law. You need law and order, simple as that. But for the person, for the police officer that doesn't actually know that they're not inside the real Commonwealth of Australia, is really full on. It's really full on in my eyes. It really is.
Mm-hmm. The way the system affects people. Have you ever noticed, ladies and gentlemen, as soon as you've got just a little bit of spare money and you're like, oh, my God, I'm getting on top, some kind of a bill comes in or some kind of tax or a piece of your car will break down. And every single time you think you're getting ahead, it gets snatched away from you by some reason or another. I don't think that that's just totally by accident. I think the system is made that way so that all expendable cash that anybody ever has at a given time will be spent simply trying to maintain themselves and not go to prison at some point, you know? And this system affects everybody. And this is the reason why I believe we need a simultaneous global revolution that is sovereignty-based, so that every country is fighting for their own sovereignty all at the same time against the common enemy. Because it's like an airship that's strapped down. You release one rope, it's not going to release the airship. You need to get cut all those ropes simultaneously so that we can float up and live in a world that doesn't get ruled by tyrannical scumbags.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Like, you look at America, they're going to, what you call it, revolution or civil war, or in Washington, D.C. on the 4th of July as well. It'll be our, in Australia, the 5th of July. That's why we had to jump in foot before. They're literally talking to go to Washington, take it back armed. We're going to be bearing arms. We're going to take it back. Now, if they do that, that's going to collapse the economy. The entire world will go down because America holds the power in the economy at the moment, with the banking system. It's going to shake the world up. It's got, the human is going to come alive. As some are now, some are totally aware of it, what's actually happening. You're going to have 7 billion people come alive at once. Once the economy crashes, because the banking system or the currency that we use, the fiat currency, it's not backed by nothing. It's backed by thin air. So it's, in Australia, we have plastic money. That's just insane, plastic money. It's not backed by anything. So as soon as that drops, it goes to the value of the currency, zero.
And you know what's going to be really annoying about that is that you can't burn plastic to keep yourself warm, but you can burn the paper.
True, too. Yeah. 1946 in Weimarsch in Germany. If your people, your listeners want to Google that, and you'll see the people over in Germany then had big wheelbarrows full of money, because that's exactly what happened. All we have to do when we look at currencies and how the financial system works is to go back through history and have a look exactly what happens. Like every 35 years, we change the currency system. Every 70 years, we have the Great Depression. The last Great Depression in Australia was in 1927. Yeah, so we're well overdue for it now. But it's not the people's doing. It's the government's doing. It's how they've set all this up. And they've literally set it up since 1972 when Nixon took us off the gold standard to fail. It's reverse fractional banking. It's debt-backed money. So the people might go, how do you actually – what is this debt-backed money? Like if I had $1 and they've got it off the Federal Reserve and they charge me interest for it, if I've only got $1 in existence in anywhere in the world, but I've got a 5% interest on that, where do I get the next dollar or the next 50 cents to pay for that interest? So you have to borrow again, and it just keeps on going. You've got to borrow and borrow and borrow and borrow. That's why America's inflation is through the roof. Europe, Greece and Spain, Italy, Turkey, they're all, through the roof now because of all this reverse fractional banking. It's the controlment of money. Controlment of money is debt. And if I could get you in a debt, as they do, I can control you.
It's like the mafia. Have you ever seen the movie Snatch?
No, sorry.
No.
I haven't seen that one. No.
Well, they're dealing with this gangster called Bricktop, right? And he says, if you go and deal with him, just make sure you don't end up owing him. Because once you start owing him, you're in his pocket. And once you're in there, you ain't ever getting out.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah.
The gangsters that get us in debt and use fear and intimidation to keep us under control and in their employ.
Yeah. It has to go back to a commodity-backed currency. May that be gold or silver, well, any commodity. It has to be commodity-based. What I class and what I think Mike Maloney in America owns goldsilver.com classes, it's called blood, sweat and tears. If you can put your blood, sweat and tears into something, then it puts value on it. And instead of just printing it out, as one of the Rothschilds says, what do they say?
Give me a control of a nation's money supply and I control the country.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's true. That's 100% true. That's what they've done. Yeah.
They own all the money supply. And I love the parable of it. Like, I'm not sure if parable's the right word, but think about this. How much blood, sweat, and tears would it take you to make $1 million? Right? You know, it'd take you decades maybe. If you really worked hard every single day for like, I don't know, 10 hours, 12 hours maybe. And then think about how long it takes a bankster to make $1 million. $1 million on this keyboard. Done.
Done. Instantly, yeah. Digital okay. Numbers.
Sweet mother of Murgatroyd, what in the heck is going on here? How are these people capable of it? Why has anybody wanted to let this happen for so long? It's because people don't fracking know about it. People aren't reading the legislation. The congressmen and senators, the least of all. They're the ones that have it all put in front of them, and I know how they feel. I've got such massive swaths of emails from listeners and stuff like this. I can't get to it. I just don't have the time. So the other problem is, hey, wait. Maybe we're trying to pass too many laws. Maybe there's too much fracking paper pushing going on around here and too much fracking bureaucracy and nothing actually being done by reasonable, decent people. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It is a listener-supported show, so if you are capable of throwing something into the kitty for Vinnie, visit thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and subscribe for as little as $1 a month, and we'll give you some commercial-free archive. Saves about half an hour of listening time per show, so that winds up saving you about, what, 10 hours a month or something like that for $1 a month? Saves a lot of time. It's really quite actually handy for the truther on the go. And I encourage people to listen daily because the show's a lot of fun, generally, and levity is good, especially when you're contemplating your own subsequent extermination by the forces of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. And that's why we like to look on the bit of the lighter side of genocide on this show, because, hey, even if there is not a lighter side to our orderly extermination, I think we'd best invent one. Just like doctors in triage units invent a very dark sense of humour so that the horrible things that they see and the horrible things that they know about day in and day out don't drive them completely fracking crazy. The point of the show is not to wake people up to the truth or anything of that nature. The point of the show is just to help you survive knowing what you know and the inherent injustice of it, and encourage you to actually do something about it by hearing from different people from all over the world who are already doing it. If you support that cause, then please go and donate or subscribe to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Now, back to my very special guest, John Russell from the People's Parliament of Australia. You know, I have this great fear that at one point the government is just going to go, okay, the jig is up. Round up every single leader of every single movement and just kill them now.
Yeah? You reckon?
I don't know if it'll happen, but I certainly know that it has happened throughout history.
Yeah, it has. Yeah, that's for sure. All the main, like Gandhi, all the people that actually stand out, stand up for what they believe in, yeah, have always been taken out. Yeah, but in saying that, same as Gandhi, I'm not doing this for me in Australia. I'm doing this for 24 million people to open this people's parliament. It's got nothing to do with me. Well, I'm one of the 24 million, yes, but 24 million outride me, so that's who I'm doing it for. Yeah, so they can do or they can say as they please. It's irrelevant in the long run of it. It really is. The people always prevail. That's the way I look at it. As long as the Australian people are free, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah. Well, it's something to be said for somebody who lives their life not for themselves but for others. And you see examples of this all over the place, don't you? And it's what truly inspires people is to see others giving of themselves to benefit their local community or their country or so on and so forth. That kind of form of self-sacrifice is one of the most honourable things I believe humans possess. And sadly, I think it's starting to wane. Have you noticed this? Yeah. Have you seen this? Yeah. Have you heard about this? People just don't fracking care about anything anymore. Like this form of nihilism parasite has attached itself and is gradually sucking at their brain stems so that they cannot even think about doing honourable or reasonable or moral things anymore.
Yeah, well, that's where I actually go into, like, the food sources that we eat. It dumbs us down. The fluoride and the fluoridation that they put into the waters and that, like, it, all of our fluoride is, all of our water is contaminated, everything. So when you look at all your food that you're actually eating, it's, everything is contaminated. It's a quite amazing thing, that. And the biggest thing that I can actually say to your viewers, and especially in Australia, is to, as a gentleman said to me, prove me wrong. Go out and do the research and literally try to prove me wrong in what I'm saying. You'll find out some hard facts, but it's the stuff that you have to face, because it might be your son, your daughter, your mum, your auntie, your cousin, your brother that's actually getting affected by this, let alone yourself. Yeah? And it's the biggest thing that I can say to people is literally jump on a Google. You've got the biggest index in the world sitting right in front of you, and to prove me wrong, to find out the facts, to find out the truth. Because when people hear this word, the government love it. The government actually love it. All governments throughout the world, and that goes, this is a conspiracy theory, or that's a conspiracy theory. And it's like, well, if it's a conspiracy theory, why are so many people brainwashed into the one conspiracy theory? Like myself. It's no conspiracy theory what's actually happening. Like, our food contaminated, chemtrails in the sky, the fracking that's going on in Australia, to the nurses waging war against their wages. Okay, you got people actually saving your life, and they've got to argue, they've got to protest about that for a better wage and a better condition. Yeah, it's right out in front of people's eyes, but that's where it comes down to the dumbing of the food we eat, the water we drink. If you take a look back in Hitler's day, the Weimarsh, okay, they did exactly what they did back then, they're doing in Australia right now. They disarmed the country back then, they disarmed the country in Australia. They put fluoride in the water back then, they put fluoride in the water now. There's so many relevant things that actually happened back then, what they're doing throughout the world right now.
Well, you know, I saw these... There's two laws that Nazi Germany passed. To discriminate against people. The first and the last, out of many laws that they passed, discriminated against people. First was discriminating against homeschoolers, mm-hmm. And the last one, before everybody got exterminated, gun owners.
Yeah, disarm you. So we got full control over you. But yeah, the education system in Australia. Okay, like I went to one of the best schools in Brisbane, St. James Christian Brothers School, and I left that school, and this might be hard for some listeners, or some listeners will go, yeah, I understand that, John, but I left that school, and I could not read and write at all, didn't know how to read and write, and I learnt in 2003, And I basically had no choice. I was forced to learn to read and write under the circumstances that happened to me. And so I wanted to learn the law, yeah, because it was something had happened. And I was like, hey, that's not me. I didn't do that. What are you doing this to me for? And they put all these papers in front of me, but I could not learn to read and write. But it comes back to the education system. This has got nothing to do with the teachers at all. The teachers are fantastic, but it's got to do with the people actually controlling the teachers for what our teachers have to teach, yeah.
Which cog in the machine do you blame? Do you blame all the little cogs that turn as a result of the one big cog turning?
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. It's criminal in so many different ways. It really is, and this is what the People's Parliament is all about—the voice of the people.
Yeah. What actually got you into this? What was this incident that sparked your interest?
Had a bit of a run-in with the Australian government. Yeah, they took some stuff off me, and to this day I still don't know why, how it happened, why it happened. Happened in 2003. I've petitioned, literally done that stupid petitioning thing to the Australian government after they let me out of jail.
By chance, does petition come from the French word petite, which means really small and insignificant and easily ignored?
Yeah. You go into the Latin side of it, but
I love it how when the government's wanting to pass a law, they ask for people for submissions. It's like, thank you for submitting.
That's it, exactly. Yeah,
well, I'm sorry. Back to your story.
Yeah, but just in myself, there's another gentleman in was that New Zealand? The government took off $10 million off him. Okay, just took it off him. Thank you very much.
That'd be Mark Wardle, isn't it?
No. Oh, what was his name? That was 8 years ago when I found that one out. There's two actually in New Zealand. There's one $10 million person and one $20 million person where the government just walked in, took them off, took the money off them, and they're literally to this day, they're still trying to find out and fight what's actually going on here. Well, how can this happen? How can you actually do that? Yeah, and
I've spoken personally to a number of people who had that happen to them. One guy had a $25 million replica of a Caribbean ship with all this Hollywood memorabilia in it, and he was going to use it for Hollywood movies. And the police came on and they just torched everything, taking out these $100,000 paintings of like Faye Dunaway or whatever, and just throwing it on a pile and burning it all. Just really ruthless, man, because as soon as you start to compete with any of the big wigs, like this could have made a big splash in the movie industry and brought a lot of money into the country, but that seems to be the model. I've seen people who've done large real estate deals, and then they've shared their plans for the real estate deals with the banks where they're going to loan the money off, and the bank will actually steal their plan and go and do the deal themselves. And then when you start complaining about it and going to court, then all of a sudden you've got police and SIS agents and stuff like that burning down your home, threatening your family, this kind of stuff. So the big, massive criminal companies that are operating in our countries right now are stealing the wealth off what I'd call the entrepreneurial spirit type of people, those who are capable of making a huge amount of money and making and holding big sway and being an example in the community of how to really go about business and get it done equitably and moralistically. Those people get destroyed really early on, as soon as they start to become really successful, before they get well established enough to protect themselves. And incidentally, yeah, the best way to protect yourself if you're in big business is to bribe the politicians and police.
Well, that's what's going on. Yeah, yeah. I got a friend in India, Neo, and anytime he actually wants anything, it's literally got to bribe someone to do it.
Yeah, I mean, look, ladies and gentlemen, you've got the ability to create money out of nothing, and bribes make the world go round, so there's no limit to their bribery. Think about it. We'll be right back after the break. John Russell from the People's Parliament of Australia is my very special, miraculous, and various other nice adjectives guest. Back in a minute. Suzanne Janselmanza, hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide. Because in the world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose a sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. We're broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's so gorgeous. And it's not only fluoridated, ladies and gentlemen, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which, according to the Prime Minister John Key, is good for the economy because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is John Russell from Australia, the People's Voice Parliament. I'm sorry, I've forgotten the exact name. I'm terrible with these kind of things.
Parliament of the Commonwealth.
Parliament of the Commonwealth.
That's it.
As opposed to the parliament that's where it's quite common that they'll operate and pass laws by stealth.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly right. Or the Australian government.
Yeah, yeah. What does the word government mean?
To me. To me.
No. Government. The direct, I think from the direct Latin, mentor meaning mind, and govern meaning control. So the word government means mind control.
Okay.
But just think about that for a minute. Everything means something. And if they're using a derivative word, just like as you were saying, the Congress is the opposite of progress. So what is the Congress there for? They're there to make sure you can't get any progress. And the government means mind control. What are they there to do? What are they doing? Oh, that's right. They're controlling the media here in New Zealand, influencing it in other countries. They've got a public education system going, and they've got the entire business structure and everything all wrapped up too, and surveillance over everybody's communications, private or not. They're trying to control the mind. And I think that if there is one tyranny that exceeds simple extermination, it'd be a tyranny of the mind, don't you think? Because that's a perpetual one.
Yeah, I do. That's why I like the People's Parliament, the Parliament of the Commonwealth. Doesn't have the government word in it. It's the voice of the people. What the people want, the people will be heard. That's what, yeah, it's all about. Yeah, people should not be afraid or fear of their government. It should be the opposite way around.
I believe Jefferson said, when the people fear the government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So Australians at the moment have been disarmed, largely because of that Port Arthur incident, which by analysis appears to be an inside job as well, just like almost every other significant event in history where they passed draconian laws afterwards. You know, that's so irritating. You know. Anyway, on top of that, you have a economy that's dipping down. I just heard that they're shutting down the Ford or Holden factories, printing presses, for example. I think about maybe Fairfax Media has shut down an enormous amount of printing presses, laid huge amounts of people off. Agenda 21 being enforced like there's no tomorrow, and they've even prevented people from picking up firewood. And incidentally, that's what helped cause those record forest fires, because it was illegal for people to even cut down fire damaging kind of trees off of their property under council bylaws, and nobody could collect firewood either. So these trees just grew out of control, as opposed to normally having controlled burn-offs. So you're being destroyed completely. And I think that might be an agenda to get people out of the rural areas, because that's Agenda 21 to a T, isn't it? Get the people off the fracking land. What's happening to Australian farmers right now? I scarcely want to think about it. Everything. Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing about this. The more pressure that comes on to not only Australia but the entire world, you got to really ask yourself, where does it stop? Where does it actually stop? There has to be a specific intent, specific motive behind what they're doing. There has to be. Yeah, and that is Agenda 21 and Illuminati. Right. When you look at all the stuff that they've done in Australia just since 1972 onwards to now, the amount of laws, the amount of bylaws, the amount of taxes that they've actually done, it's really crazy. But you've got to really ask yourself, where does it actually stop? Where do they pull up and go, okay, we've put enough pressure on these people, okay, and we can allow them to live now? Do the people really ask themselves that, or they just condition themselves to that and just go, okay, well, this is what it is. As Mum said when I was growing up, what did she used to say to me? No, you'd be told. I said, no, I don't want to be told. I want to be explained. I want to be taught. Don't tell. Yeah.
And I want to be persuaded.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a really big thing, actually. The terminology or the wording of two different words called manipulation and deception. Myself, I want to be manipulated my entire life. And people go, what? See, exactly, I want to be manipulated, but I do not want to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. You just tell me the truth. Even if I don't want to hear it, you tell me the truth, yeah? And people... Just to give a scenario on manipulation and deception, what they're actually doing is to say, like, John, you're in Darwin, go down to Catherine, there's a box down there, and inside that box there's a present for me, but I'm going to give you $50,000, okay, to do it. But you got to walk. You have to walk 300 kilometres. It's like, yep, no worries. So John wanders down, walks down, takes a couple of days, grabs this box, comes back, and this is the manipulation side. And I do exactly that. No worries. I get my box, I get my money, and I'm happy. The person wins, I win. Everyone's happy. But the deception, I get down there, get the box, come back, they get their box, and they walk away. I get nothing. So that's deceiving me. That's deception. And that's what I never want done to me. I don't want to be deceived no more. I've had enough of being deceived. I want the truth literally thrown at me. Give it to me. Literally, if a person can't tell me the truth, well, truthfully, I don't want to speak to you. As simple as that. You got to talk truth to me, to John Russell. You really do. I can't work outside of truth. You can't get to know end point. You can't get to know end result in anything. Doesn't matter what comes up against you. You need the truth to work it all out. And that's why I always want to be manipulated and not deceived.
Yeah. Well, that's why you can pretty much – you have to exclude people that you can't trust. You know, yeah, people who are known liars and things like that. But and maybe we put up with lies so much in society. Now, there's two types of lies. You know, there's little lies, which everybody does all the time. You know, we lie to ourselves, we lie to other people. But then there's more deceptive lies where you actually benefit from it, or you manage to conceal something that you might be punished for. Those kind of lies, mate. You don't want those people around you at all, especially the very convincing ones, because you never know whether or not they're telling you the truth with any word that they say.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true, especially to set up a people's parliament. You need to be spoken truth to people that you're associated with, people that I'm associated with. As much as we face things every day in very hard issues, We talk the truth out of it. It has to be the truth. It can't be from a socialist perspective. It has to come from the truth at all the time. And this is why I say to people, I stand in law and I stand in truth. As much as you might not want to hear what I'm about to say, okay, a man told me years and years ago, John, if I could actually say something to you, but it's going to hurt you, okay, but also it's going to help you. Are you prepared to hear it? I was like, bring it on. Tell me. I'm prepared to hear it. I'm a man. Tell me. And that's the same as me now. To set up this people's parliament, there's something going on in there that I don't see, and a person tries to swindle their way around me, just tell me the truth on it. Just literally tell me the truth, because you can't work outside of truth. You don't know where you stand on anything. Yeah, and especially to set up a people's parliament, this has got to do with 24 million people, then worldwide. You need to be standing in the truth. That's why I say right at the start there, we sit down at the table. We sit down. We talk about this. We do get hot-headed, yes, but we speak truth. We don't throw bullets and bombs at each other. We don't try to dominate each other.
Yeah, well, you know that diplomacy has failed when you contaminate somebody's land with depleted uranium for the next 10,000 years.
Very much so. Very much so.
Where's the feeling of diplomacy here? Because I was just thinking about this. This whole business right now that's going on in Australia is that Julia Gillard's leadership of the Labor Party is being questioned rather heavily, and she's very much behind on the poll. She'd lose, like, what, 20% of her previous vote or something like that. She's just massive. Massive Shiite Muslim storm, to put it bluntly, clustering around her, and she's still clinging to it, right? She's still clinging to it.
She'll fight to the end.
And what's the point anyway? I mean, did Rudd change anything that John Howard didn't? You know, it's just every single time that one of these people gets to the top, they always facilitate the agenda. Okay. I don't think it's possible to have a parliamentary solution to the problems that actually oppose the country from within parliament.
Yep.
You know, just like Einstein said, you know, the same consciousness can't solve the problem that it created. You know, you've got to change your consciousness a little here. Like, oh, we really care about this very central point in government called Australia, and this federal government that we've all got to live under. And then there's other people who go, no, we want the state government. Look, you're thinking too far ahead of yourself. Ain't about the states, ain't about the federation. It's about the people. They are the very authority which the entire land must respond.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm not. I'll bring something up here that I'm not sure if anyone would ever have talked about or anything like that. And that is literally to look at a parliament and to go, in society, you have two sides to society. You have the people and you have corporations. But you have parliament running as one. You have the people and the corporations all in one entanglement inside of there. And this is the difference where this people parliament is on the side in time. Okay, there will be two parliaments. It is the people's parliament on one side, you've got the corporation parliament on the other side, two completely different set of matters. So when it comes to the law as well, people aren't corporations. It's illegal or unlawful for a person to be registered as a corporation. Hello, birth certificate. But that's what the people's parliament is about as well, to have the corporation side of the society separate to the people. So when it comes into corporation matters, that will be dealt in the in the corporation parliament, not in the people's parliament. Yeah, and the people's matters will be dealt in the people's parliament, not in corporation parliament. It's the same as the courts. The court system right now in Australia, it's all corporation. So we are getting tried as a corporation, where I'm not a corporation, I'm a man of blood and flesh. I'm a man. So how can I be tried in there?
Is there also a people's court system being set up and a people's police system? I mean, maybe think about it more universally. Instead of employing the governing body, actually employ the enforcement arm simultaneously.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you have to. When it comes to the judiciary side, you can't put a person or a people into a corporation court. You're getting tried as a corporation then. So there has to be two different jurisdictions in that. One, common law, king's law, okay, in time would be king's law, and the other one is corporation law. It's the only way you can actually do it. Right now, people say, we want a republic. Well, you've been in a republic since 1972 in Australia. New Zealand's the same. America's the same. Everyone's the same. You've been inside a republic. We haven't been in the crown. But to jump into the crown, you need to totally separate those two. And it's never been done before. But it's something that our Dominical Sovereign has seen and gone, well, you can't actually have the people inside of a corporation and the corporation inside of a people. You have to totally separate it.
Kind of like church and state.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, without it, we've just got the same. We've got the same. Yeah, to go to the judiciary right now to be tried as a corporation is, I can't comprehend that. I really can't. We are not getting tried in Australia as a person, as a people, or a human being, as in common law, what Australia was built on in 1900 with the Constitution. It's common law, common sense. Common sense is common sense. Well, your common sense is different to my common sense, but we have a neutral ground. We have a neutral understanding on
that. And that neutral ground is that we both realise that the government and the politicians are common criminals.
That's, yes, very much so. Yeah, yeah. Some of the acts that they actually do is, yeah, very eye-opening. And that's what I say to the listeners, very controversial what I say, is to literally go do research on this. To go to the Constitution page, to go to Google, type in all different stuff, chemtrails to fracking to... There's so many issues out there, and that's one thing that I've never done, okay, over the last 10 years, is jump into people's issues, okay, all the different issues out there. I've stood back and tried to find a formula, and this when another gentleman come to me and said, prove me wrong, John, this is the formula how to fix all this, but it's not just the Australia's problems, it's the world's problems, and that's what I did. I studied his pages on the internet, and I studied it, and it started to reveal itself, and I was like, wow. Here it is. This is actually how you fix it. You, when it comes back to the parliament, you have to split the parliament in two. There has to be two sides to parliament. It has to be the corporation and there has to be the people, because you can't mix these two together. Yeah, it's been happening for 2,000 years. It hasn't worked. So how about we try it a bit different? How about we actually sit down the table and split these two? The corporation goes to the corporation. The people go to the people. And that's why I love
you know, the one thing I don't like about corporations or government is that you can't hold individuals accountable for the acts of that corporation or government.
Yeah, well, that might change in time. We don't know. All laws can be changed. All laws, wow. And this is where it comes back to the accountability. The person has to be accountable for what they've actually done. Doesn't matter if they stand behind a corporation or not. If you're going to do an unlawful act inside of a parliament or inside of a corporation or outside of a corporation but inside the corporation, you have to be still accountable. You really do. You're, the sense of saying, you're screwing with people's lives. You really
could you,
are.
Could you maybe fire off some names of people you think might actually wind up getting criminal charges brought against them if the judicial, shall we, I wanted to use some kind of testicular reference there, but I'll decide against it. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show, .com. My very special guest from Australia is John Russell.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. 5 days a week, 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 p.m. Eastern. And at the moment, during winter time, it's 10 a.m. through midday local New Zealand time. As for Australia, I have no idea. What time is it there, John?
9:24 a.m.
All right, so it'd be like an early one. You've got to get up at like 8 o'clock where he is in order to start the broadcast, right?
Yeah, well worth it. Well worth it. Yeah, for sure.
If you say so. Now, we're talking about these problems, okay, and they're all immense and complex. And I think one of the main problems that is a roadblock to that is a very fracking short public attention span.
Mm.
30 seconds. They click off, mate. You see that blank stare in the eyes, that dull cow type gelatin just in front of their pineal gland kind of just glazes over. It's not getting through. And so if people are that freaking silly, so that they can't even see the truth when it's laid out in front of them because they don't have the attention span to pay attention long enough to find out how it's working, what hope have we got?
People's Parliament. Slowly but surely. That's the whole idea. Yeah.
I mean, it comes down to repetition out through the public consciousness, then, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yeah. That's why you hear the politicians say the same wording over and over and over, and terrorism in one speech 50 times. And then the people at the end of it, they go, wow, it's terrorism, it's them, it's that. And that's why when I say it's the people's parliament, it's your voice. It's actually your voice. This parliament is your voice. It's never been done before. Okay, well, it was, but it got shut down. And you got to ask yourself, why would it be shut down? Because you were actually being heard for once. The people of Australia were being heard.
Maybe the word is not shut down. Maybe the word is taken out.
Taken over. Yeah. Actually, if you want to go into the Defence Acts, it's called invasion.
Really?
They've invaded our law and they've invaded our infrastructure. As we have asked them to leave our infrastructure, they have not. Because okay. They aren't our government.
Who was the pencil pusher who actually put this legislation forth where the invasion could ensue?
Couldn't ensue.
Could ensue.
Gough Whitlam, back in 1972.
What's his background?
The really funny part about that is constitutional law. He was a constitutional lawyer. Yeah. And he invaded his own law. By stealth, literally. You go into the Defence Act and, like, to class yourself if you're at war or not, that's where you go through with the Defence Acts and the Pre-Precaution War Acts and that, and determine if you are at war or not, and it defines it in there, if you are or not, and we are. Right now, this might sound really crazy, but we are. This is why I want to sit down with the Governor-General and not explain this, she already knows this, but explain what the People's Parliament is about to do. Yeah, because we're not interested in being at war. Yeah. We're interested in sitting down at the table and talking about stuff. We're not interested in you invading our law, invading our privacy. And we want to live. Yeah. That's why when she comes back from the Queen, seeing Queen Elizabeth II, we'll be catching up, sitting down at the table, eating nice fish and actually.
You know,
talking
I was just thinking about this. Two groups of people walk into a Chinese restaurant and they all sit down at the same large table. And one group of people is wanting to order really, really bad stuff for the whole table. And one group of people don't want to have a bar of it. And they find themselves another table and they get to order exactly what they want.
Mm. Yeah, exactly the same scenario. Exactly. When you look at the Governor-General for Australia, she's there if the Parliament does not listen to us. If the Parliament is misusing their powers, that's who we can go to because of the monarch. The monarch sits above the government. If the government doesn't listen, we go to the Governor-General, and she can do stuff about it. And that's what we expect. There's so many people in Australia that expect this because that's what's been put in place since 1900, 9th of July 1900. And it's about time that she actually lived up to her role. Yeah.
Well, it depends what your definition is of a prime minister, though.
Well, there's no such word in the Constitution as a prime minister. We do not have it at all. This might sound crazy too, coming from New Zealand. New Zealand's in our Constitution as a state.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, not many people do. Not many people actually do. But, yeah, the wording Prime Minister, no, we actually have a president in Australia. But the government's been pushing the word republic with the word president, so they push away from that. They look that and they class that as America. But when you look at the Constitution of 1900, it's actually the true wording is Australia has a president here. But we don't have a president, we have a prime minister. So whoever this prime minister is, they've got nothing to do with us whatsoever.
Agent of the crown.
Yeah. Agents of the crown?
Yeah.
Sorry?
You know, how James Bond 007 isn't kind of agent in the service of Her Majesty, and they come in and they take out anybody who opposes the Her Majesty's will and so on and so forth and saves the day for the Queen so that she can, you know, suck the lily livers out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's what Quentin Bryce's job is in Australia, the representative of the Queen. Yeah, But more to the point now, she's a representative of our Dominical sovereign. Since 2009. She knows this. She's fully aware of this. And good. So we can sit down and talk about this now. Okay, from the People's Parliament side and to the Corporation Parliament side, as human beings, not throwing bullets at each other. Yeah, we live on the same.
You know what? I think that the Queen retains the same powers over New Zealand as she does over Australia. She can dissolve Parliament if she wants.
Yeah, in the long run, if she can, for sure.
And under New Zealand, all parliamentarians are kept under the watch of the state intelligence services. And a couple of them have had their offices broken into and stuff stolen and what have you, who have been incidentally trying to pass laws that free people's lives a little bit, you know, like Nando Tanchos. So I presume that if the Queen didn't want any of this going on, it wouldn't be going on. And I've seen a number of representatives from high-level groups and incredibly intelligent people go and ask directly to Buckingham Palace. I've seen the letterheads and the replies from the Queen's assistant. And I just wonder, what is the point in asking for your freedom from the very person who is trying to enslave you using a piece of paper?
Well, she's our defender in faith, so it says in the Constitution. So about time that you actually lived up to it, I reckon.
Honestly, do you think she would live up to it? I mean, we're talking about a hereditary dictator that isn't actually
English. She always says to revert back to the Governor-General, and the Governor-General states, and we've got this on a couple of letterheads, okay, I do not come into these matters. So what matter are you talking about? But you're our representative on the Queen's behalf and on our Dominical Sovereign's behalf, on James II's behalf. It's like, you have to. You have no choice in it. You are the spokesperson. You are the representative. So if the government is misusing their powers, we go to you. That's what this whole thing's all about. Yeah, that's our safeguard. That's what the Constitution put in for us, or our forefathers put in place for us in 1900, was this big, massive safeguard as if Parliament has ever misused their powers. That's what we're about to go and do. Talk to literally Quentin Bryce and say, look, this is what's going on. This isn't right. This needs to stop. Yeah, under the will of the people, not under no protest, not under no petition or marching or anything like that. We don't do that. That's where I say I've never jumped into issues. I see all the other people doing this, and I've seen it over years and many, literally decades, and it never works. So it's like Einstein says, you don't go and do something three times. It's insane. Yeah, if you get the same result twice, you're going to get it the third time as well if you do the same action. So that's where it comes back under the will of the people. It's actually the will of the people say, we want them sacked. We want them gone.
Is there actually a feeling on the streets? Like if you go out, are you seeing people waving placards and F the government and swaths of protests that aren't covered by the media, things of that nature going out?
Yeah, in Melbourne there is, yeah. Yeah, there was one not long ago for the Santos seeds, for the different seeds that are coming into Australia for the farming and that. It's just bad stuff, like really. Yeah. The more it happens to society, the more it's going to happen, as in protesting and that, because they don't really know or they don't understand because the government have been teaching them that protest, yes, this is the way we listen. Well, it's not the way they listen. Nothing ever happens because it's not the way it's done. It is called the will of the people. Yeah.
So yeah, I can vouch from personal experience, having been to hundreds of protests or something. Nothing has ever been done, ever, as a result of one of those protests.
It's not how it's actually done. That's the thing. It's a very simple concept. You have at the top of the letterhead the will of the people. You have the problem underneath the will of the people. Then underneath that, you have the people that back the problem under the will of the people. So it's like a trinity in itself, and that's actually how it works. No protesting, no yelling, no screaming, none placards, nothing like this. Like when we open the People's Parliament on the 4th, it's not as people would think. They go, oh, we're going to march. No, we do not march. What do? We just turn up. We put a ribbon across there. We cut a ribbon. We have Australia's biggest barbecue. I want to turn that, and I'm trying to turn that into a Guinness Book of Records. Okay, Australia's biggest Aussie barbecue. And do it every year. Why not? But that's what we do. We don't actually do what everyone thinks we do or they've been doing. It's not actually how it's done. Yeah, because it's a very simple, simple concept. But as you know, things are very, very complex these days. So to talk simplicity, it's very hard sometimes to, like for myself, it took me a long time to work it out because it was
lies,
very
simple. I found the lies are complex, but the truth is rather simple.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like when our Dominical Sovereign said to me, prove me wrong in my pages, he shouldn't have said that to me. Okay, because I will prove you wrong. I will study and study and study until I prove you wrong. And this one, I couldn't. And it was the simplicity to it. And I was like, that's how simple it is. You're kidding me. So why is everyone else actually out there protesting? Why are they doing this stuff if it's this simple? Because no one knows. The government doesn't tell you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you were a guard and you had a prisoner, right, would you tell the prisoner the layout of the prisons and all possible escape routes?
Good point. Good point. For sure. Yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah. I don't think people realize. I do. And it actually is really depressing me. Like I've put on weight and I'm feeling kind of down. And it's just it really depresses me, the fact that I know that I'm a fracking prisoner slave. And there's very little that I can do to physically change my my surroundings and that for all my people. I can only just play my part as one of many people who are making their own individual efforts in their own way. And in that way, I think we're kind of employing the tactic of the cactus. It covers itself in spines from all direction. Each individual spine acting as a protection from another direction. So anytime anybody comes at us, trying to damage us, we cacti, and they get a little prick to remind them. And I'm just one of those little pricks reminding the government that we're not going to be stood on any longer.
Well, the pricks actually, or the spikes are actually like the law off the side of you. So if you know the law, you know where you stand. And when I mean stand, you actually stand in law. So when the police come to speak to you, one of the simple wording is, what is your name? What is not my name? And I'll leave that one for your listeners and yourself to work out. But
I get it. I get it.
Yeah. And that's the spike. And you know, like you're talking about your cactus is to know where you stand in law. But more to the point, we should not have to know where we stand in law at all. It should come down to literally common sense. You punch me, there's consequences to that. That's not hard to work out. Yeah, so we shouldn't.
It's called a black eye, yo.
Exactly. Yeah, but we shouldn't really. The people should not have to know law. But right now, yes, we have to know law inside out to protect ourselves, to have these spiky little cactuses hanging off us. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to make some kind of a joke there, but I don't think the cacti reference is good. Okay. We have a break coming in just a little under a minute. And during the final segment, what I'd like to do is sort of get into certain things that you choose not to talk about, John, if any, because often what I see on radio shows is that the person might not feel comfortable revealing certain information or how they really feel about particular topics. And just wanted to let you know that this is the place where you can share any of your beliefs, any of your things that people might think, oh, well, that's a bit controversial. And just like, well, it's the truth is the truth is the truth. And if you can't be provided a place where you can speak, you're 100%.
La donna è ottima, qua più malevento.
Welcome back.
Welcome.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the most operatic 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest is John Russell. Now, John, you know, there's all these kind of topics that people choose not to cover, like one that's of particular interest to them, but they know it kind of really puts people off and scares the frickin' bejesus out of them, so you don't mention it too often. And mine is like the massive amount of child kidnapping and pedophilia that gets sanctioned by government services, you know, like in CPS custody, like 5 times as likely to be sexually abused. And there's like 400,000 people, kids a year that go missing in the US. Like this, like there's just some really horrific stuff on there, and I choose not to talk about it most of the time because, oh mate, it depresses and scares the living crap out of people. And I was wondering, is there anything parallel to that, like the certain stuff that maybe even scares you a little bit that you don't talk about too often?
Sharks. Been bitten by a shark once, so I don't talk about sharks. Yeah, might sound crazy, but yeah. Well, I really sit on the fence, yeah, if that's a way of saying. I have my opinion on stuff, but there's nothing that really scares me. Well, nothing scares me, actually. It might sound crazy, that, but yeah. All I've done literally for the last 10 years is study how to fix this problem. Now, many, many moons ago, that's when the Dominican Sovereign jumped in, yeah? And since then, for what I've learnt, it really shaped me a bit in what actually the world and how it's actually really working, okay? And I sit on the fence a fair bit. I don't have my own personal opinion. I have my personal opinion when it comes to terrorism and all this kind of stuff. But when it comes to stuff that really scares me, or it's not there. It's actually not there. Okay, yeah. I know you're after something for me to say 100%.
Oh, well, I was wanting you to just describe the shark attack that happened to you, because that's actually quite a rare thing to happen to somebody, you know. surprisingly enough, the way it's hyped up in the media. I remember one time I was watching TV3 News here, and they had a 38 second story on a guy who was attacked by a shark in Australia, where the shark bit off the tip of his index finger. Wow. And then the next story was 100 people died today at a train crash in Pakistan. And then the next story was I don't know if it's painful to relive. I'd understand if you don't want to talk about.
No, not at all. I just don't go in the ocean no more at all. No, I just don't go swimming. I grew up in the ocean. I was a fisherman. Okay, before I started all this, started the politics side and that, and I was fishing up in the Torres Straits, and I was down spearfishing, and I speared this fish, come up to the surface, put him on my little hook, went down to get another fish, and a black-tip reef shark was up there, and I was probably 10 metres under the water. I've looked up, because I was getting jerked around a bit, okay, on the rope. I was like, I've looked up to the surface, and there's a black-tip reef shark there, chomping on my fish, and I was like, oh, yeah, go and get you away, because I've dealt with them in my life, you know what I mean? They never put the fear in me. So I've given him a whack with the spear gun and he's gone off. He would have went off probably 20 metres, okay, into the reef and turned, and he was on me like that. Literally, he'd come that fast at me, and I got a good size cut and chomp up my leg now from it. And so I had no choice. I stuck the spear gun straight through him. I speared him, and he's running around now still with my spear gun. Okay. I lost that. 17 staples in my leg on the boat to put it all back together. The skipper sewed it. Well, he didn't sew it up. He stapled it with a surgical staple gun. And, that was pretty full on, but it gave me the fear of the ocean now. I don't go in the ocean. Like, I used to love the surf. Used to love the ocean. Absolutely loved it. I worked on it for 15 years, okay, before I got into gold and silver and got into the politics side and all that. But, that's really all I can explain on that. I just got a fear of the ocean. That's what really puts the fear up me. But land, nah, there's nothing in here that can hurt you. Nothing. Mm.
Yeah, see, I've got a similar thing, but mine's like a police attack, so I've got a fear of of incidentally something that is ordinarily also big and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that, yeah. But, the poor fishermen up in where I come from, yeah, they're doing it hard and they have been doing it hard for years. Yeah, and they're the people, well, everyone really, but, yeah, to shut down. It's a funny thing because it went to the courts in 1992 and they shut down a whole heap of green zone of ocean and turned it into green zones. And they just did that not recently ago. And in the court submissions, it said the judge was talking to the fishermen and that, and in, the judge could totally understand why the logbooks, why our logbooks were never filled out correctly. And he asked the fishermen, like a couple of fishermen, why? He goes, Your Honor, if you go out fishing somewhere and you catch fish, are you going to tell your mate? So these QFMO, the Queensland Fishing Authorities over in Queensland, they got friends that have fishing boats themselves. So for us to write our information in there, they just pass that information off. Yeah, and but yeah, anyway. But yeah, the guys up in Cairns, the Torres Straits, the Darwin, literally from I've worked from Brisbane to Cairns on the fishing boats and every single port in between. So when it comes to the fishing side and the farming side, because I was a farmer as well on the off season, the mango seasons, and yeah, all different farms, or can really relate to what they're going through. And that's where these guys have got to really ask themselves, like I was saying before, where do you think the government's actually going to stop in what they're doing to you? Every year there's something. They're doing something to you. So they have to, sooner or later, they have to get to a specific goal in the end. And what is that goal? Yeah, and all we can see is Agenda 21 coming around the corner. Okay, to literally separate, pull down the state governments and take it back, or take it to councils. Okay, and be literally run through a 9,000-town council that's run out of the UN. And that's where the fishermen, the farmers, the doctors, the lawyers, the solicitors and the nurses, the police, the bakers, the candlestick maker, everyone's got to really, like, literally, if I can say it, like, snap into it. They've got to jump up. You've got to unite Australia. You've got to come together. It's simple as that. If you want this to stop, you have to unite. You've got to come together. They did that in 1920 in the engineers case, and it's time again now. You have to come together in Melbourne. If you want all this stop, my farming friends and my fishing friends, be in Melbourne. I expect you to be there, okay? Fly, run, walk, plane, drive. Doesn't matter how you get there, but be in Melbourne. Come and unite with us. Come and stand up and open this people's parliament, okay? Stand as one with your brothers, your sisters, your mothers, your aunties, okay? You've got to come together. If you want this stopped, we can stop it. And as simple as that, we can actually stop all this. Yeah, and it's called the People's Parliament, the Parliament of the Commonwealth, the real Parliament from the Crown that was set in place in 1900, not this Parliament that's sitting in place now. Yeah, yeah. It really affects me on that side when I see the people of Australia and New Zealand and the world in general, okay, for what the governments are doing. It's criminal. You can't do this to people. You just cannot do this to people no more. But more to the point, for Australia, like Iceland. Iceland's already done it. They've been through it. Thank God. Okay, for a sense of, we've got something to look at. But Australia's a bit different in that sense because we've got the People's Parliament. We don't have to sit out the front as Iceland did 3 months in the snow protesting to sack the Parliament. We don't have to do that. Okay, we got our own Parliament. I can sit down with Governor-General, okay, Quinton Bryce, talk this out as human beings, as a lady and a man. We can talk this out. We can figure this all out, okay? Because the people of Australia have had enough. They're going to snap. And I don't want my friends snapping. Yeah, that's where the violence comes in. That's where the bullets and the bombs come in. I don't want that. I want to sit down and talk about this. This is what I want, yeah? And this is what a lot of other people want. I had to sit down and talk because it's like New Zealand. Our diggers, your diggers, our diggers went to war a long time ago. They did not envision, they went to war to set us free. They did not envision for us, Australians and New Zealanders, to be enslaved now. Okay, why did you go to war? What, so we can be enslaved in 2013? No, they didn't do that at all. They went to war to literally defend us so we can be free. We can live a free life.
Or at least that's what they thought they died for. And I think it's a dishonor of their memory when we remember them on Anzac Day and so on and so forth, that we say that they died defending freedom. I don't think that they did. I think they thought that they did, and that the people who actually sent them to war to die actually meant them to be a blood sacrifice so that they could bring about another tyranny. And I think it is a spit on their grave if we don't choose to overthrow that tyranny in their name.
Yeah, I stand with you on what you've just said, 100%. I really do. It's things have to change. Okay? Things don't change, things don't change. And that's why I say unite. Unite in a federal Commonwealth. Become united, Australia. Come together. Okay? And it's in time, it'll be the entire world. We ask everyone to come. We ask all the world. The Commonwealth of Humanity is here for you.
And have you got a website that people can pick you up on there, John?
Still getting built, but we're on Facebook on Constitution of Australia.
All right, facebook.com/Constitution of Australia.
Yep, that's
all right. Sweet ass. I'll put that in the archives there so people can go and give you a ring and a bell and see if they can help you out. And I do think, ladies and gentlemen, that you should support this man and all the other people like him that are operating in your own nations, because these are the people who are actually setting aside a structure so that the people's voice can be heard. Not unlike myself. Basically, all you've got to do is listen to people and talk, and you can really resolve anything without the need for violence or name-calling. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.